Oh, what an exciting time. I think I have counted correctly. There's 14 or 15 families that are dedicating their children to the Lord today. So if you're dedicating a child, I'm going to ask the parents and the grandparents just come down here to the altar, and we'll line up from one end to the other end. And what a sight that's going to be. We're going to have a litany of dedication. It'll be on the screen. There's also a copy of it here inside your bulletin. As they're coming, there's a part that I will say, there's a part the parents will say, there's a part that grandparents will say, and then there's a part that the congregation will say. Well, church, in 21 years that I have served as the pastor, we've never had this many people at the altar dedicating their children. I think we ought to just give God honor and glory and praise for that. So, children, parents, grandparents, you're making history today. Let's dedicate these to the Lord. And in doing so, what we're really doing is dedicating ourselves. Lord, you have blessed these families with the gift of life, a priceless treasure to love and nurture. We give thanks for these children and the joy they bring to the world of their parents. Parents, do you receive your child as a gift of God to love and nurture? And will you strive to raise your child up in an environment of faith and love? Do you now dedicate yourself as parents to give your child all the love and nurture he or she needs to grow up? Do you likewise bring your child to dedicate him or her to God and to raise him or her up in the grace and the Word of God? Grandparents, will you give of yourselves freely to your grandchild? Will you share with your grandchild from your wisdom? And will you love him or her in the special ways that only you can supply? Will this congregation receive these children and seek to provide them and their families with opportunities for worship and spiritual growth? We will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come now and we bring these children to the throne of grace. God, we thank you for their life and for the joy that they bring to their families and to their church family. And God, I pray that you might anoint these parents and grandparents with a double portion of your Holy Spirit, that they might raise up these children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God, I pray for each of these children today that they will grow up and be champions for Jesus Christ. God, we commit these children, their parents, their grandparents, their family We commit them to you, dear God, today, and ask God your blessings and favor on each one. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, our youth and children's minister will give each of the children, their parents, a certificate of dedication and a little Bible. And if you get yours, you're free to go back to your seat. Amen. What an awesome way. What an awesome way to celebrate Mother's Day and to worship an awesome God. Brother Dale?
I'm walking a little bit floppy-jawed, but I'm here. Amen. Wasn't that great? It's already been a great day, has it not? Well, it's still a great day.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches.
Thank you, Dale. If you have Jesus, you have everything He has, and He has it all. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. It's entitled, A Message from Others and Others. That is, what we're going to learn today applies to moms, but it's also true of each one of us. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, asked a favor of Him. "What is it you want?" He asked. She said, "Grant that one of the two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not left for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you would take your written word, breathe upon it, God, and it might become the living word in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, God, for our mothers. Thank you for all those people who have a positive influence in our life. And God, help us to be that kind of person that is a positive influence on others. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. this past week I did an informal survey. As I'd come across different people, I'd ask them, have you ever heard a message about Salome? They said, who? I said, Salome. No, I never have. Well, do you know who Salome is? No, I don't know who that is. Well, how sad that is, because she's one of the greatest mothers, one of the greatest people that is recorded in God's Word. And we're going to look at her and her example today, and how we need to follow her example. This past Friday, USA Today had a article in the newspaper, and here was the title of the paper, Outsourcing Parenthood. The subtitle said, From Potty Training to Child Stylist. Well, it caught my interest since I was going to be speaking about parenting today, about mothering. And so I read the article, and it's trending now for people to hire an expert potty trainer. Parents are now paying experts to come into their home, and they're paying $3,000 to $4,000 to potty train their child. I thought, my goodness, that's messed up. And it went on to say all the other things that parents today are outsourcing. I was interested in, what in the world is a child stylist? Is that somebody that fixes their hair? It is not. A child stylist is someone who researches, finds what the latest styles for children's clothing, actually does the shopping, and presents it to the parents so that their children can look good with the most current fashions without having to know and without having to shop. I don't know if in America we're just getting spoiled or lazy to pay somebody to shop and potty train our children. Well, today we're going to look at Salome. Salome, whose name means peace, by the way. You already know that. Shalom is the Hebrew word. The Greeks don't have an H in their alphabet, so you drop the H and it's Salome, and then you add the suffix, Salome. And so here is a woman, and her name means peace. And I know there's a lot of moms here today that were saying, well, that doesn't describe parenthood at all. Peace. But I believe that God wants us to have His peace and to raise our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we're going to look at Salome today. I'm going to start off this by telling you a couple of things about her and then five lessons we learn from her. So who is Salome? Number one, she is the wife of Zebedee. Mark 1:19, when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And then in verse 20, without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So Salome is married to Zebedee. Zebedee is evidently a prosperous businessman. He has several fishing boats. His operation is big enough that he has hired help and hired hands, and Salome is his wife to Zebedee. And in addition to that, the Bible tells us that Salome is the mother of James and John. In Matthew 20:20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asked a favor. All right, so we know she had at least two children, the Apostle James and the Apostle John. So to the apostles, to the disciples, is actually this lady's children. I say she must have done something right if two of her children ended up being disciples and apostles. She evidently taught them well. And I came across an article here. It talks about what we learn from our moms. See if you can relate to this. Mothers teach us about foresight. They say things like, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come running to me. Mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you will never grow up. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Mothers teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mothers teach us about contortionism. Well, you look at the dirt on the back of your neck. Mothers teach us about perseverance. You're going to sit there until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mothers teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. And here's my favorite. Mothers teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Well, evidently, Salome taught James and John well. They grew up to be two great men of God. And I can't think of anything better to be said about any of us than our family grew up to worship, to honor, and to serve God. But notice here a third characteristic, and that is that Salome is a follower of Jesus Christ. Some women, and it gives their names, and notice here, Salome is in that list. It says, in Galilee, these women had followed him. Salome followed Jesus. She followed his teaching. She followed his ministry. The greatest thing that a mom can ever do is to decide to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Salome was a follower of Jesus. Then number four, D on your outline, Salome not only was a follower, but a supporter of Jesus. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. For 3.5 years, Jesus traveled around teaching and preaching. He had at least 12 disciples with him at all times. Sometimes he had even more than that. Now, think about it. These 12 guys, they didn't work. They were following Jesus. Jesus was teaching and preaching. Just think about feeding 13 guys for 3.5 years. Now, Jesus could feed the 5,000, but Jesus never used his miraculous power to meet his own needs. You understand? He never did a miracle in order for him to have clothes. He never did a miracle in order to have sandals. He never did a miracle to feed himself. What happened was that people like Salome not only followed Jesus. Remember, her husband is a wealthy businessman, but she supported the ministry of Jesus Christ. Number five, Salome is a witness at the crucifixion. Again, notice the context of verse 40. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. This here is a description of Jesus being crucified on the cross. Notice here, there are three women that we know are present. Mary, and Salome. By the way, all of the disciples except one had deserted Jesus. There was only one disciple at the cross. Who was that? John. John was the son of who? Salome. Are you beginning to see what a great woman this woman was? What a great mother she was? Not only was she a witness at the crucifixion, but F on your outline, Salome is a witness at the resurrection. In the 16th chapter of Mark, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome bought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. And then in verse 6, the angel says, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So notice Salome was not only at the cross when Jesus was crucified. She was at the tomb when he resurrected. We think about Mary Magdalene. We think about Mary, his mom. But how many times do we associate Salome with the crucifixion and the resurrection? She certainly was a great godly mother. And then the last thing I'll point out to you is Salome is a witness of Jesus Christ. In Luke 24 and verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all the things to the 11 and to all the others. When she had seen that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, what's the first thing she did? She went to the disciples. Who were two of those disciples? Her sons. And then she went to all the others to say, Jesus is alive. He has defeated death. He has defeated the grave. He has defeated the devil. He has defeated sin. She became a witness to the power of God. I would say that she was a good godly mother. Well, in her encounter that we just read, what are some lessons we can take away from Salome? The first thing I want you to see is Salome's approach to Jesus. In verse 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, asked him of a favor. Notice here, she comes to Jesus Christ, and she approaches him. I believe we could all learn that we need to come to Jesus Christ. We need to come to him, to bring him our concerns, to bring him our burdens, to bring him our problems. Notice here that she brought her sons with her. And now they're grown men. Can you imagine that scene? Danny, can you imagine Pat Black coming up to Jesus, towing you and your brother, and pleading on your two's behalf? She made her approach to Jesus. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Notice Jesus encourages all of us to come to him. Moms, are you weary? Are you wore out? Are you burdened? Jesus says, come unto him. What does Salome do? She comes and she brings her concerns. She brings her problems. She brings her burdens. She brings her desires to Jesus Christ. Thank God for a praying mother. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Remember, Peter penned this, and Peter was a fisherman. Now, we fish with a rod and reel, but they fished with nets. Think about that. They'd take their net, they'd gather it up, they'd swing it around, and they would throw it. They would cast it as far and as wide as they possibly could. That is what the Word of God invites us to do, to cast all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our fears, all of our anxieties, to cast them upon Jesus because he cares for you. Secondly, notice here Salome's attitude towards Jesus. Verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Oh, what a beautiful picture we have of Salome. What is she doing? She is coming, and the King James Version says that she is worshiping Jesus Christ. Notice she wasn't attending a service and watching worship. She was actually worshiping God. Moms, there's nothing you will do in life that will have more impact than for your children to see you worshiping God. Not attending a worship service, but you actually worshiping God. The NIV gives us an insight of what that looked like. Notice here the same verse. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. You see, the word there, worship, means to kneel down and to kiss a person's hand. Now, I thought about doing this, but I decided against it. I thought I'd have one of you to come up here on the stage and I'd kneel down and kiss your hand. And I thought, I don't know where that hand's been. Maybe I won't do that. Maybe I'll just explain it. But think about it. You know, if somebody were to come up here and I'd get down on my knees and I'd kiss their hand, it means that I have humbled myself. And not only have I humbled myself, but what am I doing? I'm adoring this person. And what is it that Salome is doing? In her heart, she is bowed down and is kissing the hand of God, and she is giving honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And then notice she says, and ask him for a favor. Did you know that word favor is the same word as grace? And what is the grace of God anyhow, but just the favor of God? And so when she's coming to Jesus, what is she doing? Are you getting this, Mom? She is asking for grace. She's asking for grace for her children. And notice grace is not based on merit. Mom, you don't have to be a great, awesome person to say, God, show grace to my family and to my children. Her attitude. And then number three, notice here Salome's appeal to Jesus. Verse 21. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand. Praise God for a mom that would come on behalf of her children and say, God, I want what's best for my child. You understand that's what she's doing? Jesus, I want one on the right-hand side. I want one on the left-hand side. I want my kids to go as far with God as they can possibly go. I want them to go all the way with Jesus. Parents, we need to aim higher than our kids just being popular at school. We need to aim higher than just being a good athlete on the team. We need to aim higher than making the A honor roll. We need to aim higher. Remind me of these old boys up in the mountains. They like to go raccoon hunting. They form them a coon club. And they go out and hunt at night. Well, they decided to play a joke on one of the other guys. And they took his rifle and they lowered the sights on it. So that every time he'd go to shoot, he was missing. Everything was shooting low and he didn't know it. He couldn't figure out what was wrong. Well, one night they'd gone coon hunting. They'd treed a coon up in that tree. And the fellow, when he took his gun, he kept shooting at it. And of course, he was missing because they'd lowered the sights. We told one of these jokers, he says, now run up there and run him out. So one of them went up there on that tree, shook that limb, that raccoon fell off, and it fell on one of the other joker's head. So that raccoon's on his head, and the guy who's got the gun that's been altered, he takes his gun and he aims it at the raccoon. And the fella had it, his eyes got real big, and he said, aim higher! Aim higher! Well, I believe Salome would say the same thing to us today. Parents, aim higher! Go all in with Jesus. Now notice here that Jesus is truly interested in your wants. Verse 21, Jesus says, what is it you want? Now God has promised to meet all of your needs. God has not promised to meet all of your wants, but notice here, Jesus was interested in what she wanted. And what was it that she wanted? She wanted her sons to go as far with God as they could. One on the left and one on the right. By the way, James became the first apostle to die for Jesus, and John was the last. John wrote 5 books in your New Testament. I believe God honored her praying. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, it says, take delight in the Lord. and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. You believe that? Take your delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you what most people do. They take that equation, and they turn it around. They say, God, if You'll give me the desires of my heart, I'll take delight in You. No, it doesn't work that way. That's backwards. You've got to take your delight in Him first, and then He will give you the desires. That is, God was interested in her wants. And then secondly, notice here, Salome is bold in her request. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You understand what she's saying? She said, Jesus, when You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I want one boy to be the prime minister and I want the other to be the chancellor. I want them to be one and two in the kingdom of God. Notice she got bold in what she asked God for. Moms, dads, what are you asking God to do in your family? Are you going bold? Are you going all in? Or is it, well, God, just bless my little bit? She said, I want it all. I want God's blessing. If He's got something, I want it. You probably heard of a guy by the name of Alexander the Great. Conquered the whole world at one time, the civilized world. And one of his soldiers came and made a request for a large sum of money. And Alexander the Great approved it. The treasurer came to him and he said, Alexander, are you sure? I mean, this is a whole lot of money. And Alexander the Great said this, give him exactly what he asked for. He has honored me in what he has asked. He's made a great request believing I am a great man. Moms make great requests of God, believing that He is a great God that can meet that request. Be bold in what you ask God to do. And then number three, Salome's awareness about Jesus in verse 22. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? She came and said, now, God, I want You to bless my children. I want them to be great in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, are you understanding what you're asking? You see, to be great in the kingdom of God is going to mean some sacrificing. It's going to mean some difficulty. It's going to mean some hardships. And so she became aware that, well, it's just not all on the mountaintop. Discipleship is costly, and it cost James his life. As a matter of fact, he was killed by the sword. James was beheaded for his walk with God. John died in prison on the Isle of Patmos because of his walk with God. She became aware of how serious this was. And then lastly, Salome's acceptance of Jesus' plan. Verse 23, Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. She comes to Jesus. She makes a bold request. When she gets Jesus' answer, she accepts God's plan for her children's life. Notice here, she doesn't try to argue. Oh, but God, how about this or how about that? Well, Lord, if You can't do this, can You do that? She simply accepts God's plan and God's will for her children's life. Moms, if you'll follow Salome's example, there's no telling what God can do. I want to give you one example from history. Abraham Lincoln is considered by historians to be the greatest president the United States has ever had. If you'll look at a list, many different ones, of the top 10 people who have ever lived around the world for the history of humanity, Abraham Lincoln will be on that list every time. And yet he was born to a poor backwoods family. They had no possessions, no education, no opportunities. But here's what Abraham Lincoln said. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me my whole life. And then on another occasion, he said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I want you to stop and think about Abraham Lincoln. If it hadn't been for his leadership, they would not be a United States of America. If there were no United States of America, think about the different outcome in World War I and World War II. They wouldn't be a Europe today. If there was no United States of America, think about the Cold War and the spread of communism. Who would have stopped it if there was no United States of America? And who is credited for saving the United States of America is Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. So you see, we can say it wasn't Abraham Lincoln, it was Abraham Lincoln's mother. That's the power and the influence of a godly mother. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And if you're here today, whether you're a mother or a other, you have a family. And I'm going to invite you today and encourage you to follow Salome's example. And that is, come to Jesus with your worries, with your fears, with your burdens, with your problems. Come to Jesus and bring your family. Be bold in what you ask God to do. Say, God, may we have heaven on earth in this family. God bless my children. God bless my family. Heavenly Father, today we've looked at a humble woman by the name of Salome. God, you gave her peace, and her name is Peace. And Lord, through her, she raised up two godly men that have blessed the world. God, I pray for every mom here today, every person here today, that God, that we might have that kind of influence on our family, on those around us. Now, Lord, as we have a time of commitment and dedication, help us, God, to cast all of our cares upon you. Lead us now, God, as we make our commitments. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing? We invite you to come.